Is becoming a physician's assistant right for you? Let's hear from Andrea Benedict, PA, and founder of the YouTube channel Life as a PA and the site Med Takeovers. Welcome to the 234th episode of Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" Not only in, but in at the best program for you. Our guest today is Andrea Benedict, physician assistant, creator of the YouTube channel Life as a PA, and founder of Med Takeovers. This very busy professional earned her bachelor's degree at the University of Delaware in neuroscience. She went straight to the University of Pennsylvania's Lock Haven Physician Assistant Program. She has worked as a PA in family medicine and cosmetic medicine on an outpatient basis, and then decided she prefers inpatient care, so she worked in a stem cell and acute leukemia unit, and currently works in a PICU. As I mentioned in the intro, she also has a great YouTube channel, Life as a PA, and recently started a new site and business, which we're going to learn about shortly. The new business is Med Takeovers. And I'll let her fill you in on the whys behind her amazing story. Andrea, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Pleasure to have you. Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself beyond what I just said? Where did you grow up, you know, background, that kind of stuff?
No, absolutely. So I grew up in Pennsylvania. I went to college in Delaware because I was like, nope, I'm done with this state. I need to get out of it. It's been great. And then I realized that Delaware was very much the same. So while I was in Delaware, I then set my sights on medical school and or PA school and said, that's it. When I'm done here, I'm moving to a different state. And it didn't work out like that. I still somehow ended up in Pennsylvania. But aside from that,
eventually.
I started my professional career, and I've bounced around the country soaking it all in. So,
okay. How did you decide to become a physician's assistant?
Well, this is actually an interesting story because it all revolves around being busted for cheating, actually.
Ouch.
So I was initially on the medical school track. I was preparing to take my MCAT. I was attending the Kaplan courses. And in my organic chemistry class, which I was doing phenomenally well in, I had a great idea, and so didn't 50 other people in class, where when we turned our papers back in to be graded again, you could make little changes before the professor got it to regrade it. Well, a lot of us, unfortunately, got busted. And because of that, there's a committee at my school that did a letter of recommendation for all students who were hoping to go to medical school. And they said, Andrea, we hate to break it to you, but you are not getting our letter of recommendation. We don't recommend anybody who's, you know, gone on the same path you have. So best of luck. So at that point I was like, well, I have no plan B. So let's come up with a plan B. So I thought that I had no hope in going to medical school. Now looking back, I realized, no, it definitely would have been feasible, but it opened my eyes to other healthcare professions, which is mm-hmm. when I stumbled on PA. And then when I learned more about it, I was like, OMG, how did I miss this all these years? This is exactly what's meant for me.
So it became your plan A?
It did. Thank goodness. Because I would have never known. I would have never known about the profession otherwise.
So you're very glad about the outcome.
Oh, I am so unbelievably grateful. Yeah.
Okay.
It saved me in more ways than one. It saved me an additional year in college, and there were multiple positives that came out of it. So,
all right. Now, we'll get back to those positives in a second, but think back on when you applied to PA school. What was the most difficult part of the application process for you?
You know, it's the minutia. That part really was troubling for me, and the minutia being like, I have this volunteer experience. What category do I put this in? Or this is my healthcare experience and it's in none of these categories here. How am I supposed to classify it? That was unbelievably stressful because you worry that if you put it in the wrong spot, then you're not going to get credit for it. And that might be the deciding factor that school makes when they decide to admit you or not. And I think the second thing behind that was probably just the essays. Like, essay creation and writing is not my forte. So those two together.
A lot of people say that, actually. yeah, I don't have too many clients telling me, oh, I love writing the essays. All right, so you attended the Lock Haven PA program. What did you like about it?
Well, I love that it was close to my hometown because PA school was so... Yeah, I know. See, I couldn't get far. but PA school was so overwhelming that just to have my mom like 2 hours away and be like, hey, mom, coming home for the weekend, if you could do my laundry and cook me some food, that'd be awesome. that helped a lot. But aside from the just proximity to my family, I think it's the fact that it's like a rural area. It's like good people, like good, hardworking Pennsylvania people. Like the professors are just so unbelievably sweet. Like they're just their priority is really the students and not the program or the money. It's really like if you are having an issue, a personal issue even, they would bend over backwards and do whatever they could for you. Which I feel like sometimes that might just because that was 10 years ago, but today I just feel like the educational arena is a little bit more sterile.
Okay.
So I'm super thankful that it was just a really friendly, warm, welcoming faculty that really had my best interest at heart, and you could tell.
That's wonderful. What would you have liked to change at Lock Haven?
Well,
or even looking back on it now, what would you have liked?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the students nowadays have so many amazing things at their fingertips between Sim labs and models and kaleidoscopes and ultrasounds, and that stuff wasn't really there when I went. So, you know, it would be nice to be like, oh, I wish I was going to PA school nowadays and I got all that at my fingertips. But really, like in the grand scheme of things, there was no negatives that came out of it. I didn't feel like they underprepared me when I compared my schooling to other colleagues. And I didn't feel like there wasn't anything that I lacked or that was not available to me that was available to others. So I really can't say there is. I wish there was because I'd love to give them feedback, but I got nothing.
that's a good place to be if you have nothing negative to say about the experience. That's wonderful. I gave a really, really quick, you know, overview of what you've been doing since you became a PA. Can you walk us through it a little bit more detail and maybe a focus on why for some of the changes?
So I graduated PA school in 2008, and that was my first opportunity to officially move out of Pennsylvania. I actually did, for real this time, and I moved to Salt Lake City, and the reason for that was because I did one of my rotations there. The beauty of Lock Haven was they said, hey, you guys can choose wherever you want to go in the country to do your rotations. I was like, well, I am picking myself some crazy rotation sites, and one of them was Salt Lake City because I knew nothing about it. So loved my rotation site. It was the craziest 6 weeks of my life. That state is just insane, but in a good way. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to spice up my life. Let's move out there. Like, I love Salt Lake. The people are great. Let's go. So I moved out there and took a job in family practice that had an emphasis on integrative medicine with some cosmetic procedures as well. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, all three things were something I was interested in. So I did that for about 7 months. And then I realized, okay, I was wrong. This is a bit too slow paced for me. I'm just chomping at the bit to get something like higher acuity. And I didn't know that about myself until I did this. So time to pivot and, you know, change gears. So I set my sights on higher acuity deaths, predominantly bone marrow transplant stuck out to me. There's two great bone marrow transplant programs in Salt Lake. So I was really lucky there. I applied at both, got a job with the one that I liked better. And it was an amazing 4 years. And if I could take that program and transplant it to Austin, I hands down totally would. That program was great. And then when I said, you know what, I just feel like picking a place on the map and moving there just once in my life, like when will I have this opportunity again? I picked Austin and,
How did you
it even further. Oh, well, it was a combination of things. Warmer weather. I was ready to leave the snow, and they have very good looking men here, and it's a great music scene. So it fit me to a T. So I picked Austin, focused my efforts on finding an ICU job because a lot of our bone marrow transplant patients ended up in the ICU, and those were my favorite patients to take care of. Mm-hmm. And I had no preference between pediatric or adults. And a pediatric ICU job opened up, and I've been here ever since. And I'm going on 6 years.
Wow. So obviously you like that. Yeah. That's been a good move for you.
I do. Yes.
Now, I've watched a few of your videos, which the few that I watched were excellent. YouTube channel. And you are very clear that you like being a PA, and you mentioned a few mm-hmm. positives a few minutes ago. What are some of those positives? Why do you like being a PA?
First and foremost, hands down, flexibility. I am such a commitment phobe. It's ridiculous. And I tell everybody, I'm like, I'm surprised that I actually got married because I don't commit to anything. So, even when I was in undergrad, the idea of eventually having to choose a specialty and go through residency, like, always gave me angst. I was really nervous about that. So to have a profession where I'm not narrowed into one particular specialty is just so liberating. Like that by far just brings me so much job satisfaction. It's ridiculous. And then on top of that, it's the ability to move around and to just move state to state. It opens up a lot more job opportunities. And then I can also change based on where I am in my life. So I want ICU now, but then if I have kids and I'm like, no, I want to slow it down a bit, I have that opportunity. So it's a blessing.
Okay. So that was flexibility is the number one. Flexibility geographically, flexibility professionally, flexibility, mm-hmm. I guess, in terms of life balance, hours. Are there any other factors?
I like the PA role. I mean, I didn't know that I would like the PA role more than the physician role when I was in PA school, because I didn't know what it was as much, you know. Like, until you're practicing, you don't truly understand the role of a PA versus the role of a physician. You kind of have to be in it.
That's my next question.
And now it's, yeah. Well, nowadays I notice that my physician colleagues, they have a lot on their plate. And I honestly, I feel bad for them. I want to help them out. Like, they have all this research that they need to complete and just all these necessary things that compile their salary, and it gets overwhelming for them. And that's not the same structure for me. Mm-hmm. I have a lot more freedom, and I'm not committed to these type of things. So I can do things because I want to, but not because I have to, or join this committee because I have a passion for it, not because it's required of me. So that, like, just my role is being like just ICU. I'm not administrative. I'm not part of the teaching staff. I'm not required to be in part of like education. It's just being the provider in the unit. And so I like that role. Like, I think that having all those additional duties that some of my attendings have would probably make me not like my job as much.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. What about, what are some of the differences between a PA and a physician, or a PA and, let's say, a nurse practitioner? I think this is something that confuses a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I think it differs greatly based on what we're talking about. So, you know, outpatient, the differences are less than inpatient. And so for me, I have predominantly worked in high acuity settings. And mm-hmm. there is more of a difference for sure. I mean,
can you give an example? Do the differences also differ by state? That would be another question.
Yeah.
All right. So can you give us an example from where you are?
Absolutely. So I can get into the whole PA and NP thing, but when we're comparing like my attending physicians and my role, they have a lot more autonomy. They have full autonomy. And if we don't see eye to eye on something, they by default are going to trump my decision. And in the sickest of sick patients, when really in tenuous situations where really important decisions need to be made, they are definitely taking more of a lead role. And I'm like more like helping them out and being of assistance and working on controlling the rest of the unit and watching the other ventilator management things. And It's definitely like a symbiosis. Mm-hmm. And we definitely have a good synergistic relationship, but the higher the acuity, the more the attending is steering the ship, which is okay for me. And I'm fine with that because of all the other benefits of the career. But you can definitely tell, like, if there's a patient that needs to be put on ECMO, the attending is making the decision if they're going on ECMO. I'm not. Now, mm-hmm. I'm always in support of their decisions. We pretty much always see eye to eye on things, but there's definitely a difference there. And then when you compare myself and my NP colleagues, there's virtually no difference in terms of how we're practicing. Now, the education of all three are different because PAs and physicians are trained under the medical model, whereas the NPs are trained under the nursing model.
Right.
And that could be a whole podcast to itself, describing that. But in the end, I think the goal with all three of us is to provide the best patient care possible. Our training might be slightly different and our levels of autonomy may differ. But that's kind of like the most concise way I can describe it.
Okay. All right, fine. Thank you. Did mm-hmm. you ever, you obviously did consider becoming an MD. That was,
mm-hmm.
but, and you're very glad with how things worked out. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to think that even if I went down that route, I'd be like, no, life is still great. But I think I definitely made the right decision.
Okay, great. Why did you start Life as a PA, the YouTube channel, both the blog and the YouTube channel, because you have both?
That was out of frustration, actually. I went through like maybe 2 weeks. There was a 2 week period where I felt that I just witnessed PAs getting slammed in the media and in blogs and on paper. And it was just so many incidents at once that it just rubbed me the wrong way. And I was like, well, I have two options. I either can complain and not do anything or actually be active in this matter. So that's it. I need to advocate. Like, what else can I do? Like, I have this rule where I can't complain unless I'm willing to help be a part of the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I got to be part of the solution. So that's really why I started Life as a PA, just to help educate the general public about what a PA was, so they had a better understanding. Because a lot of times patients they used to look at me and be like, you're PA? I don't know what a PA is. Now it's not the case. But when I first started, absolutely.
I think there still is confusion about kind of the boundaries of the roles.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that that's so horrible, and it's probably something that'll just mm-hmm. go away with time. Can you tell mm-hmm. us about Med Takeovers?
Yeah. So Med Takeovers is my baby.
Okay.
Basically, Med Takeovers came out of this idea that I had where when I'm searching for a career path, or like when I was looking into the PA profession versus MD profession, or DO profession. The way that I do best is when I have multiple people's opinions on what that job is like. And so I was like, that's how I learn. Like, even when I was learning physics, I would read multiple sources of the same concept, and it finally would help solidify something. So I said, I'm going to attempt to apply this to healthcare professions. I feel like pre-health students would really benefit from this instead of making this curated blog style, like this is what a physical therapist is. It would be nice if I could get a bunch of physical therapists to describe what their day is like and bring you behind the scenes and talk about the pros and the cons in a candid fashion. So then it would help people make a better decision about where they wanted to be in their future career. And mm-hmm. thus Med Takeovers was born.
And is it all videos? Is it interviews? Is it kind of self-created? Yes. Or is it following them around and, a day in the life kind of thing?
Yeah. So Med Takeovers is healthcare professionals using their own phone uh-huh. to talk about their career and to bring it behind the scenes as much as they feel comfortable with, as long as it's in a HIPAA compliant fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no patients, there's no patient information, no PHI of any sort. They can't even be specific about, this patient that I saw today with X diagnosis. But it does give you an idea, a general idea of like, a plastic surgeon who, takes it over. I'm starting my day. It's at 6 a.m. I'm going to wake up, but I'm going to head into work. My first patient comes at 8, so I'll bring you with me. And then, you know, they're back on at like 8:30 being like, I saw my first consult. I have 10 more, blah, blah, blah. Hey, it's lunchtime. This is what it's like. I'm starting to get tired, but luckily today's a short day. I'll be leaving at 2:30. And then, you know, as they leave that evening, they're answering questions. They are, I give them kind of a list of questions that I like them to touch on, such as, is there any career that's similar to yours? Can you describe why yours is different? And then they really just tackle the questions that all the followers who are tuning in on the various platforms that this takes place on, which is right now Snapchat and Instagram. It allows the followers to send them questions. And when they see the same question popping up, it gives them a chance to interact and help answer that.
Right. And do any of them ever say, you know, I really don't like this career. I wish I would have chosen a different one.
No.
Happy. Well, that's good.
No. Yes. They're all, yes. I mean, people have varying levels of enthusiasm on it. And they might say, if I did this again, I would maybe research this other career a little bit more, but I'm still happy with what I chose. You know, I have things like that, but I like that these pre-health students get to kind of see Everybody's reaction, because you might have three PAs on and you have me who's like, I love being a PA. And then the next two are like, eh, it's okay. I mean, I lack autonomy in some areas, so that bothers me, right? And it gives you a better idea of the vast array of people's opinions.
Right. And how's it going? I mean, you started about a year ago or less than a year ago?
I started it about a year ago. So it was going for about a year before I put the videos anywhere. And when I realized that it was taking off and so many people were finding it useful, I was so upset that those videos were gone for good. I was darn you Snapchat and Instagram, because they're set to only save videos for 24 hours. So I said, that's it. I'm not a website designer, but I better learn how to. And so I built a website that could host the videos permanently. And that has been that's been active for about a year now. So my takeover is in total 2 years. The actual website itself, where all the videos are housed, is about a year. And it's going great. It's going really good.
How many videos do you have now, may I ask?
I think I'm up to close to 300 or 350.
Wow. Wow.
I know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's been so educational for me, because even myself, I find myself learning how to better utilize other consulting services, things that I didn't even think that I should consult a dietitian for, or OT, you know, occupational therapist. Like, it's such an educational venture for myself as well.
Okay. And has anything particularly surprised you about, I mean, are you, you found that education, you found it useful, but has anything particularly surprised you either about the reflections on the different specialties or about the fact that you're now running a small business?
The only thing that surprises me is how willing people are to participate and how much they want to help pre-health students.
Well, that's really
not
nice.
Not that I didn't think that people wouldn't, but they're really genuinely interested in it. And it just makes me feel, you know, warm and fuzzy on the inside that so many people really want to help these new generation of medical providers who are going to eventually be entering school and then out in the workforce. Like, that makes me really happy.
Okay. Now you obviously, I think it comes very clearly through our conversation that you're very happy you're a PA and you enjoy your work. Mm-hmm. But did you ever think of quitting, either when you were in PA school or, I'm sure, I mean, working in a PICU or a critical care unit, you know, bone marrow transplants, that can be emotionally very taxing. Did you ever?
Oh, yeah. Bone marrow transplant definitely got to be overwhelming, and it was good that I decided to leave when I did, because that was just an unbelievable amount of sadness that it takes a toll on you. Now, I could do it again because I've had a refresher and I've had, you know, 6 years off, but that was, at one point I was like, I don't know if I can emotionally handle this, because my dad passed away from cancer. So like, having these 65-year-old men who come in for a consult, and I feel like I'm looking at my dad. And I know that they're about to get, like, really, you know, unnerving and unsettling information from the physician. So that over, that made me break down. So that was very difficult. But in terms of just school, no. You know, I knew that I wasn't going to graduate last. I didn't know if I graduate in the top, but I knew I wasn't going to graduate last. So I felt pretty confident there. I just had to keep going. And then just throughout my career, there's, and every job I've worked at, there's always been at least a day where I'm like, I feel like I want to quit. I don't know if I like it anymore. And then I come to work the next day and I love it again. You know, it oscillates at times, but like overwhelmingly, I'm really love my jobs for the majority of the days. But of course, there's times where I'm like, that's it, I'm done. And then the next day I'm like, I love where I work. So.
All right. So you got to get past the bad days, huh? Just like everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Just like everybody else.
Yep.
Do you have any advice for college students mostly, or it could be post-college students considering becoming a PA?
I think that the best thing that they could do in preparation is to start gaining patient care experience as early as possible. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, as soon as they're 18, the summer before they go to college, if they can talk their parents into help financing a 3-week course in something, MA, CA, EMT, whatever it is, and have that certification under their belt, it just makes the collection of their patient care experience hours so much easier. And as they're collecting these hours and building these hours in undergrad, they're getting paid for it too. And it looks really great on a PA school application.
Sure.
And I just think it's hard nowadays with how competitive PA school is for students to easily get accepted without a lot of patient care experience. And it's difficult to get a lot of patient care experience without a certification or starting early.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Where do you see your career going in the future, going from here?
Oh, Lord. Goodness gracious. You know what? I don't even know. I have no idea. There's some days where I'm like, maybe I'll move to London and help the NHS initiative of bringing PAs over to the UK. And then other days, I'm just waiting for telemedicine to take off so I can, you know, move to Costa Rica and do whatever. So I honestly,
we actually have a friend doing telemedicine, friend's son doing telemedicine right now. He doesn't care for it too much.
Oh gosh, yeah. I could still be working in the pediatric ICU 8 years from now, or I could be living in San Diego and, I don't know, serving drinks on the beach. I have no idea. No idea.
Okay. Is there anything you wish I would have asked you?
You know, I do think there's a really important tip that really could help alleviate a lot of PA students' angst.
Okay, wait. What is the really important tip that you think would really alleviate PA?
I love that you asked this question, Linda. Great. you know, so many PA students are like, okay, Andrea, I am freaking out because I have the PANTS coming up, the Physician Assistant National Certification Exam, and I just can't calm my nerves. I'm losing my mind. And I personally think one of the biggest tips that I can give them that's not a fluffy answer, right? Because everybody's like, oh, just have confidence. Well, that doesn't really fix it. But I think that if you call the NCCPA, which is a national certification of physician assistance organization, they update their pass rates every Wednesday, or at least they did recently, where every Wednesday they say, for this week, this was our pass rate. So 98%, 82%, whatever it is, it's usually high. It's either in the high 80s or low 90s. And I just think that that brings people a lot of comfort knowing that, like, wow, the last pass rate for last week was 93%. I definitely feel like I'm in the 93%. Okay, I've got this.
Okay. You know? All right, that's a good tip. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Andrea, I think we're running out of time, and you've been very generous in sharing your advice and your expertise. Thank you so much for joining me for this, the podcast number 234. Where can listeners view your work as opposed to just hearing us talk about it? Because there's a lot to see.
That is true. Well, there's always trusty Instagram anybody and their mother can find me on Instagram at Life as a PA. I post all of my stuff there. There's also YouTube, which is just Life as a PA. Some of those videos are, they're interesting. Let's just say that. And then Med Takeovers is medtakeovers.com, easy peasy. And then the apparel line that I have for pre-meds, which is just fun medical oriented phrases, is medthusiast.com. So I'm pretty easy. Easy to find.
I didn't even ask you about that. Medthusiast.com. Okay. So what is that before we close?
Well, that was, I'm always in like sweats and Lululemon and just chill stuff and t-shirts. Uh-huh. And I was like, I really want just fun medical phrases. Like, you know, it's going tibia. Okay. With a picture of a tibia and things like that. Like I want to wear stuff like that. And I always joke and say I'm a medical enthusiast. And so I just put the two words together and created like an online store that just has fun anatomy stuff, physiology stuff. You know, I have mugs on there that are brain anatomy, and just it allows me to totally nerd out.
Okay, Sam. Well, we will definitely link to it from accepted.com/234. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 234th episode. It looks like you're going to have a lot to explore when you stop your exercise, your driving, your commuting, or whatever, in terms of the resources that Andrea has given us. If you found this show worthwhile, please leave a review on iTunes. Positive reviews on iTunes really help us out. Thank you to those who do leave the reviews. And we have links to iTunes at accepted.com/234. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.